I got it.
Okay.
I got what I need. Where's Vaughn?
Oh, there you are.
What was that phone number? 8675309.
No, okay. 3-6-9-6-9-7.
Okay, I'm just saying.
That was an easy thing I asked Sprint for. It took me 2 years to learn it.
2 years to learn it. I had a brain block the other day. Guy was asking for my phone number at Dick's Sporting Goods. And I just couldn't remember my phone number to save my life. So I finally got it. But
Somebody and ask.
I'm going to tell you. I know. Somebody asked. That was the problem. You know, I joke about the needle coming off the record. But I'm going to tell you, Raymond, something happens at 50. The record scratched at that point. It's not just the needle coming off the record. It's scratched. So
my dad said that at 50, the warranty runs out on all the parts.
He was right. That's exactly right. We're currently in chapter 3. Let me share something with you guys tonight. Brian, that's a great lesson. I appreciate that. Let me share something with you guys. These classes, I realize, they're fundamental, but they're faith building, aren't they?
Amen.
I mean, aren't they building your faith? I hope that they are. But the thing that really concerns me is the fact that I know and you know that we have weaker Christians that really need to be here. Because the things that we're discussing is faith building, okay? And what's difficult is if we, I'll stand right here.
You do that.
If we are not allowing our faith to be built and to progress our faith, our spiritual maturity, if we don't do this, I oftentimes find it myself in situations with immature Christians that are not new converts, but have been in the church for years. And these are the things that we're discussing that I just want to say, man, if you'll just come to Wednesday night class, you know what I'm saying? It would just build your faith and you'll learn these things. Okay? So the reason I'm saying that is I'm not lecturing you. I'm saying that we need to pray for those. I appreciate you being here, but we need to pray for those and encourage those. I'm not going to name any names, but there are others that need to be here. You know, and their faith is not strong. Their spiritual lives are not strong. And you know it just by talking to them. Okay? So just try to encourage folks, okay, to come to this. Man, this is a great class. But I know we can get more here. I know there's more that need to be here. Let's just put it like that. Okay? There's more that need to be here. All right, guys, I'm still struggling. I'm this close to just throwing it all in and going to the ER because I've been up two nights in a row with this, and I'm tired of it. So be praying about that because I'm about at the end of my rope with this. We are currently in chapter 3, and we are discussing the early spread, and that's okay right there, the early spread of the gospel by the church. And we read in the first three paragraphs some information that resembles this, guys. You know, when we go back, I want you to look in Acts chapter 1 and Acts chapter 2, and I want you to think about the pattern. There is an obvious pattern that God has given us in the first couple chapters of Acts. The pattern includes preach the man. Who's the man?
Jesus.
The man is Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Okay? It didn't take them long to establish that. Okay? Acts chapter 2, verses 22 through 36. You see and you hear Peter's sermon. Okay? It's all about, everything centers around Jesus Christ. He is the man. The plan with regards to conversion. Was that revealed? Absolutely. Okay, they ask, what shall we do? Great question. Twice he told them, you have killed the Son of God. What are we going to do about this? Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins. Here's the third P. There's the man, there's the plan, and there is the place. The place. The place you are positioned in after you become a Christian. Last week, you guys remember, we were talking about, and I was trying to really encourage you to not be shy or bashful about talking about the church. God intends for us to talk about the church. Look in Acts chapter 1, guys. Look at verse 3 in Acts chapter 1. Let's go to Acts chapter 1. Who wants to read verse 3 of Acts chapter 1? Verse 3, Carl.
To whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days and speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God.
What did you catch that? When Jesus was witnessed and seen in that time from the time he was persecuted, he was crucified, he resurrected from the grave, in that lapse of time, what's Jesus preaching about? What's he talking about? He just said it. Things pertaining to what? The church, the kingdom of God. Right? All right? It's a big deal. Okay? And we see this in Acts chapter 2 and verse 47. Okay? When we're baptized into Christ, we're placed into his kingdom, the church. Now, bless you. It cannot become any more simple than that. Okay? And as I was listening to Brian's lesson, and I was thinking about the characters in that lesson, about just trying to reinvent the wheel religiously. Why do we do that? Why do people do that? They just try to reinvent the wheel religiously. Guys, it's right here. It's perfect. You don't have to reinvent it. God knows what he's doing when he made the wheel, right? Okay? So again, I know we're in the very Bible basics here. But this is why I'm trying to encourage you, to encourage others, you know, whenever we're discussing this, to have folks to come and to be a part of this. So, after these things, we begin to see, guys, conversions occurring in the New Testament. We looked at last week, multitudes, 3,000, 5,000. All of a sudden, Luke stops giving us numbers. He just says multitudes were converted. Okay, the gospel is spreading throughout the world. Okay, then in Acts chapter 8, we should turn over there real quick because it is necessary, I think, that we look at some of these examples and discuss these. We see here Philip; he's going to Samaria. Okay, when Philip is in Samaria, we begin to see folks are being converted to Christ. Okay, so let's look at some of these. Philip, baptizing souls in Samaria, Acts chapter 8:12. Okay, but when they believed Philip, as he preached things concerning what? What's that? The church, right? So Philip's not afraid to preach about the church. He's not afraid to preach about God's kingdom. And who else did he preach about? Jesus Christ, right? Okay. Then he goes, both men and women were baptized. So have we gotten off script from what we see in Acts chapter 2 yet? Or even in Acts chapter 1? The pattern continues. That's what I'm trying to get you to see. Okay. They never deviated from the pattern. Okay. And that's what's important for us to notice here. Okay, so Philip then goes on. We see the Ethiopian. He's a treasure for Candace the queen in Acts chapter 8 and verses 26 and following. It's an interesting story, isn't it? Here's this treasure for Candace the queen, this Ethiopian. He's making his way back. Okay, he's already been to Jerusalem. Okay, which tells us a little bit about it. Okay, because what was he reading?
Isaiah.
Mad Magazine? Is that what he was reading? No.
Isaiah.
Okay, the book of Isaiah, chapter 53. Okay, so he was a worshiper. Okay, all right. A proselyte, apparently. Okay, and here's Philip. And you know, the Lord tells him, what does he tell him? Leave him alone. You know, he's not one of us. It's not what he says, is it? You know, tells him to go up, overtake the chariot. Okay? You remember his question? What was Philip's question to him? What was his question?
Do you understand what you're reading?
You know, guys, that's a clue. You know, because sometimes we're intimidated about, what do I say to somebody? You know, if I want to have a Bible study, what do I say to them? Okay? You know, God tells us to ask for wisdom. Will he give it to us? He will grant us wisdom, and he says he'll do it liberally. Now, if you're looking for liberal, there's the word, right? God says, I'll give you wisdom, and I'll give it liberally. I want you to be wise, okay? Here's Philip. He capitalizes on this opportunity, okay? Here's an opportunity. He's reading the Bible. Hey, you understand what you're reading? And he says, well, how can I unless someone explains it to me? Maybe in your vernacular, in mine, whenever we're setting at Grisburn, we're setting in the lobby, and maybe someone might be reading something, maybe their response will be, you know, this is pretty hard. Especially that book of Revelation. You always get that, right? You know, this is pretty hard. Okay? Oh, okay. And then, you know, you just let God join the discussion, and you just take the word, and man, you just go with it. Okay? And what you don't know, you say, hey, it's a good opportunity to discuss it later. So anyway, what does he do? We see the pattern in Acts chapter 8. What is Isaiah chapter 53 about? Someone read that for us. Look at this. Verse 32 and 33. Someone read that of Acts chapter 8.
It's in the scripture which you read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. And his humiliation, his justice was taken away. Who will declare his generation, for his life is taken from the earth?
Who is he talking about?
Jesus.
He's talking about Jesus. Matter of fact, look at verse 35. Mm-hmm. Then Philip opened his mouth. And beginning at the scripture, he preached Jesus to him. There's the man. Don't forget this pattern. Okay. There is the man. And I can deduce from this, now as they went down the road, they come to some, what? Sand? You know? A spring? No, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, see? Here's water. Now, wait a minute. What's your takeaway on that? My takeaway is this.
Can't preach Jesus without water.
Without baptism. Okay. And how a person misses it is beyond me. So he goes on and look at verse 38. So he commanded the chariot to stand still. Both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water. And he baptized him. Oh, we got the man. Now we got the plan. Right. Okay. They came up out of the water. The Spirit of the Lord called Philip away so that the eunuch saw him no more. But he went his way rejoicing. When we're looking at this, what was his status after this? Well, we could say he's saved. But he's a member of what? The church, the kingdom, isn't he? Okay? That's his place, spiritually. Okay? And it's his job to go do what Philip did. Go preach the man, the plan, and the place that we need to be. Guys, I want to tell you that the church is at risk today. It is endangered. Because I keep hearing from different individuals. They'll go right along with the man, okay? Some have deviated from the plan, because they're listening to the wrong man. Okay. But some may even say, okay, I'll go with the plan. You know, you insist, but don't tell me about the church. Because one church is just as good as another church. Okay. And I'm here to tell you that we've got to have all three. The man, the plan, and the place. Okay, the place. I don't get it. It's discouraging at times to preach and to teach. And people may stop by once in a while, and you won't see them anymore. I mean, I'm hard on myself. Because I'll walk away from that saying, where did I mess up? Where did I fail? Did I not communicate it clearly enough? You know, and it's discouraging at times. Help me out here. You know, is this something that you're seeing as well? I mean, aren't you seeing this where people, you know, well, from time to time they'll stop in and then you never see them again? Aren't you left asking, Lloyd?
Yeah. Mary Stidham and I were visiting each other this evening. And you know, very sadly, she said, how come we lose so many people? And yeah, that's a good question.
It is a good question.
We have people come here and they're trained for here, military. And we do everything in our power to get those people to stay here with us. We'll come back. You don't see any more.
Right.
I have a family that came here, place your membership. You haven't seen it since.
Right. Right.
What are we doing wrong here?
You know, and are we doing anything wrong? You know, it's a good question. It's a good question to ask. You know.
You think Noah ever asked that question?
But, yeah. Oh, my goodness. Why are they not listening, Dale?
The problem with the military congregation is you're inheriting what somebody else has taught them. And sometimes what they have been taught is not necessarily what we're taught, what we teach. And they have an opportunity to get away and nobody knows about it. And remember, look back in the years, you know, when I was growing up, when someone preached the gospel, there was no question about what was taught and the authority of what was being taught. Today, there's sermons that you could preach in any denomination and never offend anybody. Those are not good. Remember I told you when you first moved here, if I come here and don't have to go home and polish my shoes, you've wasted my time. That's what we need. We need strong, down-to-earth, no question about it. This is what God said, and no backing out away from it, no apologizing for it, because that's what was taught. We have, you know, we see babes, we talk about babes in here in Christ. And if you saw a 40-year-old babe drinking out of a bottle, you'd say something was wrong. But it's the lack of knowledge. That's the problem, the lack of knowledge. And they don't read what's in the Word. It's not being pushed that hard enough that you got to know what's in here before you can live it. And you got to know what's in here before you can teach it.
So those are good points. Vaughn, did you have your hand up? Were you going to say something?
As far as being military...
You wouldn't know anything about that.
I wouldn't know anything about it. And moving around and going to various congregations. I was brought up in the church. And when we moved to Ohio, I encountered the United Church of Christ, which I had never in my life been to. It was that I came from the area. If it said Church of Christ on the door, that's what was going on the inside. And when I walked in, that wasn't what was going on. So it took a lot. Come back to the church. Not that I got down there and stayed, because I knew I was in the wrong place. But I wasn't attending the way that I was supposed to. When I first started, when we first got here, I was going down to Resident Park Church of Christ. They dug up 75 and it was difficult to get there, and I didn't really know where I was going, and at that time, so I was doing things on my own. And so once I found the church family, you have to kick me But you have people that get away from their families, and they used to go to church, and they're away from home, and they don't get to a new place and find that family to where they feel like they fit in.
Okay.
And if, because Diana and Bruce Donovan, when they first came here, she came, she stood in the corner because the church she came from, she said, we went on vacation for 3 weeks and they didn't even miss me.
Yeah.
And it was like, I had to pull her out of the corner. You have to get to know these people. You have to talk to people.
That's good advice,
and
yeah.
Different things like that.
Right.
And we can't just leave people standing out of skirt and not approach them.
Right, right. That's discouraging, isn't it, to go to a congregation when you go away on vacation. And,
yeah.
And, I mean, they just, I mean, you, it's a struggle, it seems like, for anybody to just say hi to you, you know. And go ahead, Amanda.
I was just going to say, you know, if there's one thing this church is good at, it's welcoming.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yes, I came from another congregation, I'm a Christian, you know, group of women from the church, but even coming here from another congregation, I've had nothing but welcome since I first came.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Sunday, there was a new couple sitting behind us, and there was, I mean, at least 15 to 20 people that I saw come up and welcome them and call them hi, nice to meet you, glad to be with us today.
So, people want to feel loved. They do. And especially when you're visiting, you know, they just, they want to feel welcome. They want to feel loved. And, you know, what an indictment it is on any congregation whenever a person walks out and they don't feel loved. They don't feel welcome. Dale.
I went to church the other day, or last week up at the city on Sunday night, because they want me to come up and visit once in a while. And when the next following Sunday, Wednesday night or Sunday morning, I had three people come up to me and say, where were you Sunday night? Or where were you Wednesday night? And that's what we need. We need people that if they're not here, will call them and ask them, where were you? That they know that they care, number one, and that they know that they were missed, and they've got people.
Excuse me. Yes.
I'm not talking about Crossroads or nothing bad.
No.
We're going up because they care and say, we missed you. Are you sick? Were you okay? Where were you?
Yeah. Go ahead, Don.
Well, I want to come at this from a different direction.
Okay, please.
Now, the congregation, we need to do everything we can, but I want to come to this from the standpoint of the fathers of the family. One of the reasons why kids get away is because the kids go to college, they get a job somewhere else or whatever, and the parents are not following up. I can remember a couple of times when we had kids coming to Wright State, and the parents actually came and said, keep it, and brought them. Okay. And, you know, sometimes the only time you see the kids is when the parents are in town. But at least the parents are putting a pressure. And so when kids from my family go somewhere else, I think I have a responsibility to them. Just because they are physically away does not mean that that the commitment that I've made as the head of my family is gone.
You know, I think we're all hitting on the same thing here, and is the fact that, you know, Jesus says the world will know you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Love. Listen, guys, that's the key. That is it right there. They don't care. You know, I'm not knocking the knowledge thing. You've got to have that. But they don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. That's a fact. That is just a fact. And something else, someone said something earlier, and I'm sorry it's kind of developed into this, but, you know, so what? Just call me Dr. Phil and let's just keep talking. I don't care, you know. But I need this. I need to hear this, okay, because, you know, I someone said something earlier, and I think that maybe, Dale, you were hinting at the fact that without saying it verbatim, the times are changing. Our culture's changing. People don't feel like they need the church. Okay, and I hate to say it, you know, they've got this, that's all they need, right here, at least in their minds, okay, I hate that, it's true, guys, it's true, and, You know, so we're competing with technology, okay? We're competing with technology. And, you know, and how in the world, I mean, you know, we just have to keep setting the example and following the scriptures and doing what we're commanded to do. But no matter how much technology you can get, you know what? This thing right here can never say things to me that my mom can say. That's my heart. This thing right here can never move me in a way to make me so proud of this congregation and this leadership in this church. This can't do it. Being with you is what does it. That's the key. That is the key right there. Lloyd, go ahead.
Yeah, I would just go ahead. How many times have you and I sat down and discussed people that we try to contact?
Oh, yes.
And they, you know, the worst thing you have is the reporter to say, oh, I'll get back with you.
Yeah. Right.
And so it that really works on you. But you know, you've been through it too. And it's discouraging.
Right. But even though times are changing, let me say this. That doesn't give us an alibi to do the wrong thing.
No.
And I know you're not saying that. I'm just saying that some people can assume, you know, that, hey, look, times are changing, so why fight the battle? You know, you can't surrender like that. You cannot surrender like that. Okay, Brian.
You know, this passage about the Ethiopian eunuch and Philip is so convicting to me because apparently Philip covers more in one chariot ride than I do in years with certain people. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I'd love to know what distance they traveled. You know, was it a mile, 2 miles, 10 miles? Who knows? We're never told. But he clearly gets to the point. You know, and I am very slow at getting to the point with people about the gospel. And so they're not getting that affirmation to hear a strong lesson on Sunday from somebody like yourself. And then they go to work and they don't get the affirmation from another Christian. You know, when Kelly and I first got married, we rented off a lady. She was Baptist. But Frances Hatton, she was so good at getting the point. It was uncomfortable, I have to tell you. But, you know, you weren't going to talk to her for more than 30 seconds, and she's going to ask you something spiritual.
Right.
Or it might be, are you a Christian? And if you didn't know the answer, she was going to try to figure out why.
Right.
You know, I mean, she was very direct at that. And I understand that can go wrong, you know, in the wrong context. But anyhow, it is pretty impressive what,
you know. Brian, you just stirred something up within me that, and I, you know, you gave the example of her some way, somehow, turning that thing spiritual. You know, just really concerned. Sometimes guys were late to the party because we didn't try that. You know, and someone was looking for that. Listen to what I'm saying. You know, I had a conversation not long ago with a gentleman that was looking, truly, genuinely looking, him and his wife, okay? And I asked him, I said, well, where are y'all going to church? And he says, Church of Christ of Latter-day Saints. I said, oh, okay. And he says, you know, I said, how did you end up going there? He says, well, my next door neighbor saw me out in my backyard struggling to put some fence post up. And he came out and he helped me put some fence up. And he said, next thing you know, I'm going to church with him, you know. You know, and I thought, man, it's just as simple as, and that was the example Jesus gives us in John 13 of washing feet. Okay, it's an example of service. It says this will. I don't know how many miles it was, but the bottom line was, you know, he's serving. He's doing his duty, no matter whatever the distance is. And your landlord. Reminds me of that, you know, and look at that passage though you read from Isaiah 53. Look at the end of it, and who will declare his? What does it say? Who will declare his generation? That's us, guys. You know that, and that's us. He's talking about us. Now,
the world looks at us too. But if you come in here on Sunday morning, we have 200 people here. Wednesday night, we have 40 people. Or Sunday night, you have 40 people. And Wednesday night, you have about 30. What, you know, what can you draw with the conviction of the people that, you know, you have this here, but not here?
Uh-huh.
They're not serious about it. There's something missing here. Yes, you have that core, but what about the other ones? Uh-huh. There's just something here. And as I've told you, you get your ticket punched and go home. You're not serious about it.
Dale, what was the, I remember you and I discussed this one time about your dad when he was preaching. His dad preached just probably 5 miles from where I preached in Portsmouth.
Well, both places.
Okay, yeah. He preached at Grand Summit too.
Yeah.
But that's true, because I went back and I looked at the records. You had the records, and Dale graciously gave those records to those folks. But the percentage, the rate of return on Sunday night was in the 90%. I mean, that just... He showed me the records, and I'm looking at them. That's phenomenal, you know, and it blows my mind. I guess that's all I'm saying. It just absolutely blows my mind. You know, there was a time that there was hungering and thirsting for righteousness in this land, okay? And not only do I not see a hungering and thirsting for righteousness in this land, man, I'm having a hard time seeing it in the church at times, too. And that's what's frightening. That's what's frightening. Vince. Judy. Yeah, okay.
I think now it's so different where people want gratification and they're looking for it on the outside.
Mm-hmm.
And when I grew up, it was like it was on the inside.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was like, I don't know how to really explain
no,
it.
No, what do you got? You know, it's not about internal. What can you do for me?
And now, you know, if you go to church, what can I get out of it for me?
Right.
I want
right.
self.
And we're not, listen, by you saying that, we're not knocking service to people.
No.
That's not what you're
that's
saying.
That's not what I'm saying.
Because I don't want people to walk out here and say, yeah, see, we're not supposed to.
No,
we are supposed to serve.
What's being said is people are going now,
uh-huh.
I'm seeing, to a building, and I want you to get up there, and I want you to look at me, and I want you to entertain me.
Right.
I want you to make me feel spiritual. I want you to help me feel the spirit. I want you to entertain me.
Yes.
And that's a lot of what a lot of young people are looking for. They can't find the spirit in themselves, so they want you to help them find the spirit.
I don't want you to take this the wrong way. Last fall, I held a meeting. Somewhere, I'll just say somewhere. And someone stopped in to visit who was very familiar with my preaching, my style of preaching, and, you know, the way I preach. And this individual attends a feel good now
church.
Okay? You just feel good. It's a feel good church. Okay? And after I held the meeting, and guys, I'm not saying this. I'm saying this because my heart broke. My heart broke. So we go out and we grab a bite to eat. We're sitting down and we're talking because I hadn't seen this individual in a long time. And he says, man, that was so refreshing. I said, well, what are you talking about? You go to church. You're in the church, Christ. He said, I don't ever hear sermons like that. I don't ever hear sermons like that anymore. You know? And that broke my heart. It wasn't like, oh, really? You know, I'm someone great. I didn't take it that way at all. It shattered me because I'm like, where are God's messengers and why are they not preaching the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth? Why are they not doing that? And he was just as dead serious as he could be. I don't get here preaching like that anymore. You know? So anyway, guys, it's yes, and when it's diluted, it's deceived, Vaughn. It will fall for anything. It will fall for anything. Yeah.
Are you preaching because you're afraid to lose your job? Or you
right.
Because you want to know.
Are you preaching for a paycheck?
And if
exactly.
You're not preaching and have the backing of the elders like you did here,
Well, I know the fact that Dale is here.
We need to talk a lesson on this, and you teach it.
Yeah.
But don't back off on it. Never back off on it. When you do a good one, I'll come down and tell you.
Well, the elders knew they found a good one when they interviewed me. You know that little nursery downstairs? Two doors, upper half, lower half. They knew they found a winner in me because they said, let's try this. So they opened up the upper half. They shut the lower half. And I was in another room down there. Said, okay, Scott, come on in. And I came up to that door, and I showed them how smart I am. I climbed right over that door and right into that room. So we got ourselves a winner right here. No, I'm just joking. But anyway, I tell that joke, and thank you for laughing out of pity. It's a pity laugh. I appreciate it. Okay.
I've got a question.
Okay, I'm going to go back.
Scott,
I know. Oh, I can't go back. Well, I missed, we don't need to go back, Jeff. Just leave it there.
He's got
as he's going back, Nancy.
About the unit.
Yes.
Who is this Candace? I haven't heard of Candace.
Okay, she, the queen of Ethiopia. Okay, she's a queen of Ethiopia at this particular time. Okay.
And she isn't mentioned anywhere else in the Bible ever.
Just other than the other than the fact that she's a queen of Ethiopia, and he's a government official. He's her treasurer. That's all I can tell you. Historically, I'm sure that you could go back secular. Don, you'd probably pull that up real quick.
Yep.
But with regards to what history says about her, what secular history says about her, okay. But this is all we see about her in Acts chapter 8, is that he's a government official. He's her treasurer. Lloyd.
Is that the same situation with the fellow that Saul of Tarsus? Saul of Tarsus?
Yeah.
He committed a really bad sin. He wanted to buy the power of those guys that were handling the power of the Holy Spirit.
Oh, Simon the sorcerer. No, you had the S right. Hey, you did good. No, hey. Boy, I knew what you meant, and that's all that matters. That's good.
You said, right there, let me make a big dunk.
Lloyd, I couldn't stop you, man. You were in the water too deep. Right, I was trying. It's like, come back. Lloyd, come back. But anyway, see, where's your sidekick? Chrissy, you know, your sidekick, she would have, Lloyd, I'm sure she's got a signal.
She'd have been
something.
Poking him, yeah.
Don.
Okay, the name Candace is kind of like Pharaoh. It just basically means queen. So
it could have been, it could have been Emily. It could have been Amanda, you know.
Well, anyway. It looks like in the kingdom of Cush, which was basically what's Ethiopia today. If it was a queen, they called her Candace, which was translated into king.
Sorry. There's your answer. Oh, let me mention this real quick, Dale, and come back to you real quick. Saul Tarsus. Guys, the same thing with Saul Tarsus. Has things changed as far as conversion? You know, there's some interesting words there in Acts chapter 9 I want you to look at real quick. And you can help me out with this, but you guys remember the story well. Saul has arrest warrants in hand. He is serving them to Christians. He's hauling Christians back to Jerusalem. Look at this. I want you to see. He's persecuting Christians. Verse 3, as he journeyed, he came near Damascus. Suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. He fell to the ground. I heard a voice saying, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Guys, this is our clue on how we treat one another. You understand me? This is our clue on how we treat one another. Okay? Because you could sit here and say, he's not persecuting Jesus. He sure is. Okay? And he says, well, who are you, Lord? And he says, I am Jesus, whom you're persecuting. It's hard for you to kick against the goats. So he trembled and astonished, and he says, Lord, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? Arise, go into the city, and you will be told. Underscore this. I have that underlined in my Bible. You see what it says there? What does it say?
What be you should told do, what you
what you
must
might
do.
Do.
Must do.
What you must do. Now, one, two, skip a few. You guys remember his conversion in Acts chapter 22, verse 16. Okay? And Ananias shows up, and he asks him, he says, why are you tarrying? Arise and be baptized, calling on the name of the Lord, and it, washing away your sins. Acts 22, 16, right? So what do we got? We've got the man. We've got the plan. Was he baptized into Christ? Was Saul baptized into Christ?
Oh, yeah.
Was he added to the kingdom? Yep. Look yes. at Colossians 1, 14. Says he is. Okay? So he was translated. He was added into the kingdom. Again, guys, it never stops. It never ends. That same pattern of preaching, the man, the plan, and the place, the church. Okay? And it's, I realize it sounds simple, but we got to get back to it. We have just got to get back to it. All right, Dale, go ahead. I'm coming back to you.
If we go back, and it is fascinating to look at the people that God chooses with these examples. If we wanted to go to that kingdom, that queen, or that government and teach to them, we couldn't. But here, God chose a man that is trustworthy, that is knowledgeable, that is very serious about what he believes, converted him. Now, what do you think he did with that knowledge that he had?
Oh, yes.
He went right back into that government.
Yes. And he shared it, didn't he?
We don't need to start out with the politics. You know, the president or somebody. We need to start here with somebody that can work into it.
Sure. So, guys, our time is up. Let me say this. Lord willing, next week, my voice holds out. Lord willing, next week, I'm going to get into, we're going to look at the government and the organization of the church. We're going to discuss elders and deacons. Okay, and we're going to address the dreaded title that I'm always called, and they get it wrong every time. No. Pastor. I'm not the pastor, I'm the preacher. And if you got any questions about that, because I know that you're sitting there, if you've been in the denominational world, it's like, but he is the pastor, isn't he? Come next week. And let's look and see what the scriptures say about that. Okay, it's really simple. Okay,
and a couple of the pastors will be here.
And that's right. I'll have some pastor backup. That's right. And it makes it easy for these guys when they go to hospitals to get a badge for a pastor.
We don't anymore. They're too cheap.
But anyway, all right, guys. Thank you for your time and your attention.
Oh,
I appreciate it.
Speaking of which, Scott, Dee and I will not be here. Dee's having laser surgery next Wednesday.
Okay.
To repair.